Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. Times such as these, concerning times, evil is good, good is evil, down is up, and it's just people celebrate stuff. Not us. We make decisions in this time of choosing. We make temporal decisions, and I've made a spiritual decision that's very firm, and I hope that you have made some for yourselves. This is the sign of a unanimous approach to something that requires a bit of thought, though it seems very simple. Last night, the Seattle City Council actually approved a budget that doesn't contain a cut to the police force. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, just think of the times in which we live. That's a fantastical happening that these guys didn't cut another $10 million from the budget of the police. And this is at a time when murders are at record highs, rapes are at record highs, property crimes are at record highs, arsons are surging, media's favorite word. Sex trafficking up 2,000% in Washington state. In the center of that is Seattle. That's the center of the experiment of the party. So they've temporarily had to not cut this money. But the very fact that this is a discussion from the left coast, the separate country of Seattle, to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., indicates a unanimity of view on the left, that what they believe is that they have now the kill shot on society. Unanimity of view is we no longer need to hide what
you're so sad because you lost on J6. Your people lost, and my people are winning, and we're going to continue killing you.
I have 180 days to send him into revolution.
Can we focus on what happened on January 6th, where our democracy was in jeopardy?
Yeah, Elizabeth, you can see businesses have spent the day boarding up yet again.
This is meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, so if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you.
It's funny stuff. Burning down buildings and shooting people of color in Olympia. It's hilarious. I don't know what to say if you feel uncomfortable at political murderers and attempted political murders on the streets. Matt Walsh, talking about the nation's capital, inspired by the experiments in the separate country of Seattle. He writes, AOC is a demonic sociopath. Guy out on a $1,000 bail just mowed down a bunch of women and children, and her immediate response is to ensure that even more violent criminals are released back into their communities. These people are really, truly evil, diabolically evil. And I think that's right. Meanwhile, a smuggrel response from the separate country of Seattle. Smuggrels are people who are uniquely unaffected by the policies for which they vote and the people for which they vote. This is a Seattle attorney who, for some reason, someone said, hey, we should find out what a lawyer in Seattle thinks about this, probably how this works. Didi's son with Cairo News decided to talk to this guy. Probably how this works is he's paid someone to make him a media presence, so a booker. So they put you in this little, you know, little booking book, and they send out, you know, releases. This person's available for comment on social justice issues, and he's a lawyer, and so he's very, very important. And then the bookers, they have contacts. Many of them used to work in media, so they used to be reporters or they were producers, so they know a lot of folks. So they might, and I don't know that this happened, but this is the way the business works, is this guy wants his name in the press. His name is Jeffrey Needle. So in all likelihood, he paid somebody, And they push his name out, and Didi Sun says, man, let's an angle. There's something in the media called a story wheel. So you covered a story enough. Well, what's another angle we could get on this story? So Seattle's looking for an angle on the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. Say, hey, I know. They've been bugging me to get this lawyer on. And this is me, again, supposing what happened. I just know the way the business works. So they get this lawyer on, and he says that this about Seattle. That this is a remarkable statement Jeffrey Needle makes to Kyle Seven.
I think we'll see a tremendous surge in vigilantism. People will feel emboldened. They'll feel justified that they can use force. They'll feel justified that they can walk around carrying weapons. I think in the broader social context, this is really a terrible decision.
Now, in all due respect to Jeffrey Needle, that is an utterly foolish thing that man just let spill out of his speaking hole. Utterly foolish, utterly empty, utterly unaware of what is Seattle. That lawyer is apparently keenly unaware of the fact that record-level murders are happening, that people are shot multiple times per week, and that you can die just as dead when someone shoots you with a Glock as you can die as dead as when someone shoots you with an AR-15. Furthermore, his observation and analysis is tin pot silliness. There is going to be absolutely zero surge. Hate that that word has become nomenclature. Zero surge in people going out and carrying ARs during riots. Furthermore, the lack of awareness on this from lawyer Jeffrey Needle. Lawyer Needle, are you 2 years old? I'm asking, were you born in the past 2 years? You had armed people, Lawyer Needle, driving around your city in an unmarked truck. All of them open carrying, blocking the intersections so cops could not stop them from burning buildings down. Lawyer Needle. Jeffrey Needle, lawyer. Your analysis, with all due respect, Jeffrey Needle, lawyer. Jeffrey Needle, who apparently wants your name in the press, Lawyer Needle. Lawyer Jeffrey Needle, you didn't see Chop Antifa stand? You didn't see the car riddled with bullet holes with a teenager and then a second case of a child? You didn't watch the video of who appears to be Raz Simone handing out AR-15s? So Lawyer Needle, and again, I don't know this to be the case. I just know the way the news business works. Well, news, I mean, come on. Not news. It's a way to put a Seattle spin on this. That's one smuggler, Lawyer Jeffrey Needle. Another example of this just painful smuggledom comes from a publication I've never read, South Seattle Emerald by Jav Parrish. Opinion. Could a Rittenhouse happen in Seattle? In the wake of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, it's worth asking, could a right-wing vigilante shoot somebody and escape justice here in Seattle? It already happened. On Inauguration Day 2017, Donald Trump had just become the new president. His fans were giddy, and professional right-wing troll Milo Yiannopoulos was invited to the University of Washington's College Republicans to speak at Kane Hall. Now listen to him. Listen to this guy. His controversial speaking tour had already triggered violent incidents. Are we tracking this all together? A man giving a speech triggered violence. But the people who chose to be violent because a dude gave a speech, they're not vigilantes? They're not vigilantes against free speech? That's the very example of a fascist idea. If you speak your ideas, I will hit your supporters. This smuggledom continues after we check traffic with right-way traffic. So just continuing to look at the phenomena, the unanimity of view that let all the criminals go. And that was AOC's response after this guy run people down in Wisconsin. Well, we need to let all the criminals go. She issues a Twitter statement just after this happens. This guy released on $1,000 bail, a very, very, very violent, felonious record, a man who should not be out. Incidentally, I've read that he's also a sex offender, which should be now a trifecta, given Rosenbaum and Huber and now this guy. So we're tracking it from the national basis to the local basis, right down, not even out of government. We went to lawyer Jeffrey Needle, who is apparently, and I'm guessing here, completely unaware that Antifa stand chop happened and that gang killings are at record highs and that murders are at record highs and that kids are killed and shot with quite a bit of regularity, or young people at least in Seattle. That's a smuggle view, smuggle them on display. I don't care about that because it doesn't allow me to preen and stand up and be lawyer Jeffrey Needle, who might get a client because Jeffrey Needle, lawyer, was on the TV saying, oh, Kyle Rittenhouse is a terrible person, but chop Antifa stand, I don't recall that, basically. It's my interpretation, my opinion of the analysis of lawyer Jeffrey Needle, just my opinion. Then we get to this piece by Joff Parrish, and I was just through this. He is very concerned that there's already been a vigilante shooting in Seattle. But he's not concerned about other vigilantes. Going back to his piece, he's talking about Milan Yiannopoulos back in 2017. Yiannopoulos' appearance in Seattle drew anti-fascist protesters. Joff Parrish. They went to try to stop a free speech event. They hoped to shout it down. That's vigilantism in the form of prior restraint, son. He talks about some admirers of Milo Yiannopoulos being there, Mark and Elizabeth Hokana. Remember this case. Mark Hokana reportedly tried to pick fights with protesters. Reportedly by whom? Who reported that? There's video of this entire thing. Is there video of him picking fights? At some point during the tense and chaotic evening, a gunshot rang out, nearly killing Joshua Dukes. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Nearly killing Joshua Dukes, who was serving as a protest peacekeeper. Not a vigilante, of course. Not a cop. Not a law enforcement officer. Apparently not armed. What was Kyle Rittenhouse doing? He was going about Kenosha offering to render medical aid to people. He was putting out fires. He was walking away from provocation. When he was cornered and had no place to which to walk and was being attacked by two sex criminals, one of whom who hit him twice in the head with a skateboard. Now, you can say we're an ideological show. Well, my ideology, if you want to call it that, starts with the Bible. And yes, we have a responsibility to love our neighbors as ourselves. We do. It's a difficult thing. And to call out absolute lies or confusion in this case. Again, I don't know Joff Parrish's soul. I've never met him. But I can read this. He writes, Joshua Dukes, who was serving as a protest peacekeeper, had attempted to intervene in a melee Mark Hokana had allegedly started. Now, again, watch the careful language. Allegedly started. There's video of this. If it's alleged that he started it, is there video of him allegedly starting it? And furthermore, why was it the role of Joshua Dukes to intervene? Kyle Rittenhouse simply went to put out a fire. But you see, this is smuggledom on display. If you go back to the Seattle Spirit we played at the top of the hour, and we've done Seattle Spirit since we started the show. Which reminds me, tomorrow at 7 a.m. in the 7 o'clock hour, second hour in the podcast, We're going to talk about the future of how I do broadcast or podcast. We'll talk about that. I please do join us. Instantly, I'm going to hold. Please join us tomorrow. So we've had Seattle Spirits forever. I want to play again this one, and I want you to hear again the voice here at the beginning of this Seattle Spirit.
You're so sad because you lost on J6. Your people lost, and my people are winning, and we're going to continue killing you.
We're going to continue killing you. Did lawyer Jeffrey Needle, who apparently deeply wants to be mentioned in the media, Jeffrey Needle, lawyer, did Jeffrey Needle, lawyer, have any comment about the open political murder that occurred on the streets of Portland down the street from Seattle? Or is lawyer Jeffrey Needle only concerned about things that happened in Wisconsin? Lawyer Jeffrey Needle, being from Seattle, got himself into a Cairo 7 news piece by Didi Sun, a reporter, don't you know? And lawyer Jeffrey Needle says, we're going to see more vigilantism. He wanted to talk about Kenosha, Wisconsin, because it's my estimation, my opinion, all of this is my opinion about lawyer Jeffrey Needle, that lawyer Jeffrey Needle wants his name attached to these things because lawyer Jeffrey Needle would like to get clients. Because lawyer Jeffrey Needle has had some pretty big settlements. He's a really good attorney, it looks like. Really good. $13 million judgment here and there. Very good at what he does. I'm guessing. Just down the street, there was a political murder. Happened on video. The murderer, a left-wing guy who said, I am Antifa, fled to Washington State, where lawyer Jeffrey Needle is a lawyer named Jeffrey Needle. But Jeffrey Needle, I'm not able to find comment on this. The political murder in Denver. The attempted murder of cops that Jason Rantz broke the story on. Where they attempted to burn cops alive in a construction trailer. Or the attempted political murder where the son of a former Democrat politician hit a cop in the back of the head with an aluminum baseball bat. Luckily, the cop was wearing a bicycle helmet. I did not see a comment from lawyer Jeffrey Needle, a lawyer in Seattle who wants his name, Jeffrey Needle, in the media. And Dee Dee's son obliged in a news piece. It was news, don't you know? I am unable to find a piece from Jav Parrish at the South Seattle Emerald bemoaning the open political murder on the streets of Portland, the attempted murder of cops, the successful taking of a cop's life from a Black Lives Matter Incorporated adherent in Bothell, Washington, who decided to shoot at cops, causing crossfire. And unfortunately, that officer, one of the officers, lost his life in that crossfire. See, this is smugglerdom, guys. Our friends at Safe Seattle, great coverage, fantastic coverage of the homeless industrial complex in Seattle and therefore in Portland and therefore in Los Angeles and therefore in Austin, because Seattle, the separate country thereof, is ground central for the homeless industrial scam. They have news, legitimate news, actual news. The new mayor of Seattle has decided to change in regard to the homeless industrial complex, in regard to the drug addicts coming and moving to Seattle because drugs are legalized and sex trafficking is ignored. Mayor-elect Bruce Harrell has decided to change nothing. Safe Seattle points out in a legitimate news piece that all the people that Bruce Harrell is putting in his transition team for homelessness are all the same characters who've made it worse, including this guy named Drones. This dude is the greatest con artist of his era, and he's just getting started. He's no Fauci. Mark Drones is the CEO, so-called, of the Regional Homeless Authority. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770 and see how Mark Drones spends his time. You're going to see a picture of him in a gym taking selfies, talking about, as I recall, making sure he's good looking enough to con rich men into becoming his sugar daddy. And by the way, it's not even clear that he's ever moved to Seattle. And I believe he's had this job, which is a really well-paying gig, for maybe a year. And has never moved there. It's some entertaining stuff. Some funny, funny stuff. Well, I mean, unless you're not a smuggler. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Just looking at the data now for the newest data on the COVID flu and the injections, I will tell you, as my hands, I'm going to take my hat off because I'm going to address God Almighty. Lord God, please forgive the people who are pushing these injections on children. They either know not what they do. And for those who know not what they do, Father God, please forgive them. For those who know what they're doing, Father God, I wish you would smite their efforts. And just now, just chatting with us, my friends, I will tell you this. You are insane if you shoot your kids up with this trash. I'm not saying it's dangerous. I'm saying it's deadly. You can come to me all day long and say it's a small percentage of cases, and that might be the case. But the new analysis is, and I just read this, that you may well be seeing more deaths from the injections than from the COVID flu. The younger you are, the more deadly this garbage is. How would that work? How would you possibly get to data like that? Well, remember, the death count is inflated in from COVID by up to 40%, maybe 50%. In fact, if you strictly say people who died from COVID, that is, they were fine, then they got the COVID flu, that and that alone killed them, you could be talking about 10%. Like, you could be talking about 90% of the deaths not COVID. On the other hand, what we're seeing from these injections, and this is very early on, is horrifying. We told you yesterday, so-called vaccinated English adults are under 60 are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people the same age. That's in the UK. We've talked about Sweden that got conned. Well, in my judgment, got bought, because they moved the actual scientists out of the way. The chief epidemiologist, who has gone through scientifically rigorous approaches to the COVID flu, balancing the needs of humanity with the knowledge that you cannot stop an upper respiratory virus. Can't. They got conned into mass injection. They're studying this. They are actually collecting data in a scientifically meaningful, rigorous manner. And what they've learned is all-cause mortality in people who have gotten these injections is up 20%. The younger you are, the more likely this trash is to kill you. And there are very few, precious few, shiny-shoed Republicans who will do anything about this. Rand Paul is one of the few, and he won't even attack the injections. Oh, he points out that they don't stop infection or transmission. He points that out, but he's not yet ready to talk about how dangerous they are, but he is ready to go at Fauci on how this all came about.
Dr. Fauci, I don't expect you today to admit that you approved of NIH funding for gain-of-function research in Wuhan, but your repeated denials have worn thin, and a majority of Americans, frankly, don't believe you. Even the NIH now admits that EcoHealth Alliance did perform experiments in Wuhan that created viruses not found in nature that actually did gain in lethality. The facts are clear. The NIH did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan, despite your protestations. You can deny it all you want, but even the Chinese authors of the paper, in their paper, admit that viruses not found in nature were created, and yes, they gained in infectivity. Your persistent denials, though, are not simply a stain on your reputation, but are a clear and present danger to the country and to the world. As Professor Kevin Esfeldt of MIT has written, gain-of-function research looks like a gamble that civilization can't afford to risk. And yet here we are again, with you steadfast in your denials. Why does it matter? Because gain-of-function research with laboratory-created viruses not found in nature could cause a pandemic even worse the next time. We're suffering today from one that has a mortality of approximately 1%. They're experimenting with viruses that have mortalities of between 15 and 50%. Yes, our civilization could be at risk from one of these viruses. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with known pandemic-causing viruses are incredibly risky. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with coronaviruses that have as much as 50% mortality could endanger civilization as we know it.
And there. Now, here's the problem that the Fauci, Gates, Barrick, EcoHealth Alliance, DASIC, China, World Health Organization, I should say Chinese Communist Party, and our good friends at Pfizer, who lied about the number of people who died in their rigged trial, who says we're not going to turn over the full results of those supposed studies for 55 years, even though, and we'll get to this next hour, even though now the American Heart Association admits this mRNA trash, the American Heart Association says, yes, it's giving people heart attacks. Even with all this, here's the problem. When Bill Gates now says, probably what we need to worry about now is a smallpox terrorist attack. Nations need to be wargaming for biological attacks with smallpox. And we're just not ready. Okay. Here's the problem. You have created, not me. This isn't my fault. When suddenly we find, wow, there's smallpox vials in a Moderna freezer. Why are there smallpox vials in a Moderna freezer, according to media reports? Why would that be the case? Why would we be finding these things now? The problem is when you have something like Event 201, and now we're living in what looks exactly like Event 201, including conning people, threatening people, and stealing their jobs when they do not get injected with the precious mRNA concoctions, the clot shots. You look back historically and go, wow, you kind of told us what you were going to do, didn't you, Bill? Now, maybe he's just funning. But that's the problem. When you're willing to take lives, as Fauci, in my judgment, has proven he's willing to do, to continue the con, I'm sorry, when one of the key players comes out and says, oh, we don't have a choice. We have to take the mRNA injections because of smallpox. Is that what's coming, Bill? And the fact that there's no effort to bring that dude before Congress? I ground myself in truth. When people pretend you don't have immune systems and they're doctors, they're lying. You can't get out of the first year of biology, human biology, in high school without understanding we have immune systems. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Brian Suits scheduled to join us.
I just came to say hello.
Hey, I know what that is. That's music to welcome to the program Brian Suits, combat veteran, former radio host, now very, very successful podcaster. You can pay him money to hear him speak at thedarksecretplace.com. Happy Thanksgiving, now Washingtonian, and I'll never understand that move, but welcome back to the show.
Same to you. Yeah. Daughter and I are going to have our first family Thanksgiving in a couple of years. So it'll be fun. And I don't have to worry about going up to Vancouver because their Thanksgiving was October anyway. So my family up there will see you Christmas.
Good. That's awesome. I wanted to ask you real quick before we get to the topics of the continuing effort by Russia to cause, I don't know, a collapse, the Ukrainian border, and this missile, the hyper missile that's been fired by China. I wanted to ask you super quick, because we didn't talk about it before. As a combat vet, how did you regard Kyle Rittenhouse's actions, tactically speaking, when he came under attack? Like, how well did he do or not well?
Well, you can't argue with the results. Tactically, he lived. That's the criteria. You know, he was being attacked. He fired 8 rounds and he stopped 3 attackers. You can't argue with results. His form wasn't exactly, Fort Bragg shoot house, first special forces Fort Lewis standard. But he's never been trained, or he's seen it on YouTube or whatever. This is why, in the big picture, being alone in that situation, I have no idea why he wasn't with someone or 8 of his best friends. I mean, so that's mistake number one. However, for a guy who was facing his first real life, he's alive. The people that were trying to kill him are dead. And so that's a walk-off grand slam, right. Any day you can have that result. So,
well, listen, there's no doubt in my mind that you sometime earlier this morning forgot more about using weapons in those circumstances than I ever will know. I was impressed with the fact that he didn't shoot everybody around him, that he showed restraint even as being like drop kicked to the pavement and didn't muzzle sweep everybody. It just took out Gage's right arm. But that's just me.
You're correct.
I am. Okay. So I get that as that's a point on my side. Okay. We're going to transition.
Wait, what? Yes. if you did the same thing, I would call you a steely-eyed missile man. The guy's 17, man.
All right. I'll take that. Brian Suits is with us, thedarksecretplace.com. So this missile, the hypermissile from China, they've now, fired it again, and it's shaped like an arrowhead? It's scary looking. Your thoughts on that?
When form follows function, it is actually in low Earth orbit and atmosphere, and that's its entire principle, is it's skipping, off the atmosphere. So it does have to, show some aerodynamism. But the big new revelation about this July test is that in its terminal phase, it released a submunition, which is not what we've been looking at the prompt global strike that Bush started 15 years ago, was that the hyper hypersonic is itself the weapon. Well, the Chinese may have a inability to make that thing hyper precise, which would defeat the purpose of it. So maybe its entire purpose is to get quickly to an area where it then releases a submunition. I don't see what the big deal is. Everyone's saying, well, that must be a countermeasure and all that. I think that's American thinking. I think the Chinese are simply thinking, what's the point in making this 4-ton thing precisely hit a target? Why not have it release a 200-pound thing and have that be hyper precise?
Oh, okay. So this is like a missile. I'm thinking back to Star Trek days. This is like the photon torpedoes coming out of the big thing. Like, to be precise and technical, there's the big thing, then there's like the photon torpedoes. And remember that when they fired those, it was all over, unless it was the Borg.
I never understood if those were like line of sight or if they were actually guided. I'd assume everything in Starfleet was guided. I mean, you would, wouldn't you? It's a directed energy weapon, at which point it's literally the speed of light.
Yeah, got that. So now the continuing great era of the Biden leadership of the globe as the most powerful figurehead ever to pretend to be presidential, most popular president in history, I would add. The Ukrainian border and what Putin is doing there, the end game is collapse, but he's okay with the war starting over there, right? That's cool with him.
Yeah, and it's begun already. And I would remind people, before you roll your eyes and say that's crazy talk, his invasion of Georgia in 2008 was timed to coincide with the Olympics opening ceremony in Beijing. I mean, literally, the entire world was going, look over there. And Bush was even there in 2008. He was physically there. And that's when he invaded Georgia to absorb the two Russian, ethnic Russian majority provinces. Okay, well, what's coming up on February 2nd, NBC? And so what's going on right now is they practiced the invasion of Ukraine back in April, just, you know, blatantly in front of the world. So all in one, Putin has created this crisis on the NATO border, EU-NATO border at Poland. They also have informed Europe that they're not booking more space for natural gas. So the Europeans are dealing with skyrocketing energy prices right now, and they're about to go up in December and January because Putin's not going to send them more gas through the pipeline that goes through Ukraine. So I've never seen indicators line up like this. And then the coup de grace on this is that for the first time since the collapse of the Soviet Union, Putin has called up more Russian army reserves than anyone has seen in 30 years. And this affects national police forces because a lot of those guys are in the army reserve. So this is how we're finding out. Their wives are complaining on social media that the army paychecks are nothing like the police paychecks. And that's how we know the scale of this call up. So I really couldn't tell you. My money is on invade Ukraine, and the West doesn't care because it's freezing.
Okay, there it is. And you can get just massive amounts of analysis like this, longer form, at thedarksecretplace.com with Brian Suits. I am thrilled that you get to have a family Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on again, Brian. Go with God's good grace.
And you can get your Let's Go Brandon Dark Secret Place wear, by the way, at thedarkseekerplace.com. So please enjoy.
Listen, now we're not allowed to curse on the air, so you just cursed. But that's okay. We're late for traffic anyway. So I love you, brother. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Bye-bye.